Welcome to the Defender Podcast, a resource to help mobilize and equip the body of Christ to manifest the gospel to orphans and vulnerable children. This podcast is a ministry of Lifeline Children's Services, and I'm your host, Herbie Newell.
All right, welcome again to the Defender Podcast. This is Rick Morton, and it's April 3rd, 2024. Can hardly believe it that we're in the month of April, and so the pollen is out, and I'm coughing and hacking, so we're excited. But I am, you know, dressed in spring colors today, so I feel like we're gonna have a great day because I'm prepared for a change. I'm having the opportunity today to sit down with a dear friend, but also somebody who is an incredible asset to our team, part of our team here, Ann-Mara Hinton. Those of you that listen to the podcast regularly, you're familiar with Ann-Mara and with her work leading Bridge Educational Services and the way that she pours into the lives of children and families and leads a team that engages kids that are challenged with learning differences and enters into neurodiversity and all those kind of things. And so we're going to talk about that today. Ann-Mara joined the Lifeline team in August of 2017. It seems like it was just yesterday, but has been here serving as the program director for Bridge Educational Services. She came to Lifeline with 25 years of teaching experience in a variety of different settings with a variety of children with different challenges. She loves to learn and is constantly looking for new ways to help build a bridge from frustration to hope alongside families in need. Ann-Mara is, and I joke with her, she is literally the most well-read person I know. And so there's always, every time I talk to her, there's a book recommendation. And so we'll probably get one or two of those today, too. She's a certified cognitive developmental therapist and has earned her master's degree and undergraduate degree in special education. She originally hails from Madisonville, Tennessee. She is a graduate and earned her master's degree in special education from the University of Tennessee.
Go Vols.
And so I will continue to use simple words for the rest of this podcast, Roll Tide. That is something we continue to tease about on a regular basis. Ann-Mara is a wife to Robbie and mom to three amazing kids. And she loves spending time with them and is just that those kids and Robbie are the joy of her life. And so, Ann-Mara, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Excited.
Well, we got a promo to do here. And fittingly, the promo today is Bridge Educational Services. Woo-hoo! And so, you know, summer break can be a great time to let Bridge Educational Services help you and your child to maintain learning and structure over the summer. Bridge tutors can help your child prepare for the next school year while engaging in fun, purposeful activities that can improve areas such as focus, comprehension, and decision-making skills. Bridge Educational Services will customize a plan for you and your child. Mm. And the way you can find out about Bridge is you can go to lifelinechild.org/bridge, or you can just check the show notes and all that information is there. So just either click on the show notes where however you're listening to us, that information is right there, or go to lifelinechild.org/bridge. And so that's pretty simple, right? But a good lead in to what we're going to talk about today. And so our topic today is we're talking about the power of play.
Yeah.
It's funny because of all the people I know in my life, Ann-Mara may be one of the most playful people that I know.
I do like to play.
I know you do. And but not just have fun, right? Like have fun with a purpose.
That's right.
And and so I think, you know, as we think about all the roles that we have as parents, mm-hmm. and you know, all the responsibilities that God gives us as parents, one of the things that sometimes doesn't really get the focus and the airtime is the idea of playful parenting. And so, you know, maybe could you just talk about how the relationship, like, why is it important to be a playful parent?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think about a lot. Well, there is actually a scripture that has been jumping out at me lately where it talks about in Psalm 18:19, it says, "He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." Mm. And that idea of delight, that God delights in me. And so therefore, I mean, finding playfulness, finding joy, finding that connection with our kids, whatever that situation might be or however that looks, is just important. I mean, and it builds so much. Dr. Stuart Brown, first book recommendation, wrote a book called Play. Mm-hmm. And in it, he defined play as a state of mind that one has when absorbed in an activity that provides enjoyment and a suspension of sense of time. And play is self-motivated, so you want to do it again and again and again. So my question, you know, becomes like, so what is that for us?
Right.
You know, what suspends time? Mm-hmm. That's something that we want to do over and over again. And how does that look with our kids?
Yep.
And so I think we have to look at ourselves first, mm-hmm. to figure out like, what is that for us so that we can then connect and engage with our kids.
Yeah, that's awesome. The idea that, and I know that, you know, we've talked about this before, and you probably have a little something over there to even validate this. But I remember when I was in seminary, mm-hmm. one of the things that I had to take a children's ministry course in seminary, mm-hmm. and Dr. Paula Stringer was my professor. A lot of folks out there probably know Paula and have been around Paula. She's actually been really active in the orphan care world and around CAFO and in those settings. But Paula, she just really kind of drilled it into us that when we think in terms of children and ministry to children, that play is their work.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that we mm-hmm. sometimes we, you know, that and that that really impacted me as a person, but it impacted me as a parent as well to realize mm-hmm. that, you know, the playfulness that we have with our kids, sometimes I think we get caught up in all the things that they must achieve and all the developmental milestones that they must,
the
you know,
expectations.
Yeah. And we think of those things in terms of work.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that they happen because God has designed us to be playful. Mm-hmm. And when we do those things that are play, mm-hmm. that work gets accomplished.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. The work happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. And, you know, I mean, we know that play disarms fear. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know the science behind it. You know, I can geek out on the neuroscience of it.
I want you to geek out. That's what folks want to hear.
Yeah,
so, like, let's talk about
it. You know, the brain is designed, you know, the way God designed the brain mm-hmm. is for connection.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that connection disarms fear.
Right.
We know that it builds attunement. Mm-hmm. We know that it impacts memory and learning.
Define attunement.
Attunement is that when you feel that you are connected with someone and understand that there's a mystery actually
yep.
between that connection and that, and you can relate without being inhibited.
It's what
anything.
I've always How, what I've always yeah. heard the imagery that I've always heard to like.
Yeah.
Explain that is it's like when your heart and when your soul resonates with someone else like a tuning fork.
Yeah. Yeah.
There right?
you go. Yeah.
Like it's that and it really is. It's That's that it's way. That sense that you're like in really perfect harmony
right.
with another person. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I think when we think about it, I can geek out on the theological side of that
yeah.
as well. But yeah. I think in grander terms,
right.
that's what God has accomplished, you know, for us in, mm-hmm. you know, through Christ.
Oh.
And so like the whole point of this thing is attunement with God.
Right.
And so we see, you know, in scriptures about God delighting in us and us delighting in God and
right.
all that sort of stuff. And so you then kind of back that up to human relationships and say, God wants that same sort of connection and that same sort of resonance among us and between us, and certainly with our children, because it's such an incredible picture of the relationship that he's bought and paid for through Christ with us, right?
Yeah. And that's isn't it beautiful just to see how God created it, to take it back and just go, and you know it. When you see it, when you know how it feels when you are so connected that you, again, you go back to you're just finding joy. It's really a sense of joy. You know, the Bible also says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Mm-hmm. You know, so what, I think sometimes it's also understanding what it means to find joy in what you're doing, whether that is engaging and connecting with your children, whether that's in the workplace, whatever that is, it's finding that attunement, that attachment, and that connection to whatever you're doing. So, you know, what brings you joy? And yeah, so okay. What brings you joy, Rick?
You know, I mean, it's funny. Joy for me is, and this, okay, so this is, and this is actually going to lead, what I'm about to say is going to actually lead to something. I'm going to totally throw you a curveball.
Okay. So,
but I think, you know, like for me, I love to learn. I love to engage. I love to, you know, like play with ideas and wrestle with ideas. And it's more mental than it is, you know, physical. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And we were laughing.
That's right, at Alabama game, I guess.
Well, that's true. I don't even know that I get terribly physical in those places. Okay. Like I'm not, you know, necessarily the person that's jumping up and screaming. As far as you know.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, like we were laughing yesterday. We were talking about this and just kind of chatting in preparation. And, you know, I think about, you know, things like PE class and go, yeah, that didn't seem very playful to me. Mm-hmm. It was just like grunt work.
Yeah.
And so not very enjoyable. But I think one of the things that I've realized over time as a parent is that the things that I enjoy and the things that are fun and playful for me are not the same things that are fun and playful for my children. Mm-hmm. And there's a pretty significant dissonance between me and what just inherently brings me joy and what and how they're wired and what inherently brings them joy.
Right. You have to work at it with your kids.
So like, what do you do?
Like
when you're just profoundly different and you're in that place, what do you do as a parent?
Yeah, I think that's fascinating. There is a study out there that talks about our dominant ways of play or our dominant ways of how we feel. It's not that we don't play in these other ways, but it is like how we find that, you know, how we find that joy. And it's different from everyone. There is a site that talks about like the 8 dominant play personalities. Yep. And so, you know, just knowing you and talking with you, you know, I know things about you. Like I know that you liked to ice skate when you were younger, right? And that was movement, right?
That's movement.
But it's creative movement. Mm-hmm. And so one of the play personalities or dominant play roles is creativity. Yep. And I know that about you.
Right.
You're a wonderer. I mean, if we get into the whole working genius thing, you know that you like to invent things. Mm-hmm. And so your way of play is creative.
Right.
You know, and that's what's going to bring you joy. So looking for those particular ways in your children. Mm-hmm. And then as parents, obviously we know how, like, even if we have to engage in that 4 or 5 minutes a day, you know, if we want to get really practical, 10 minutes a day, you know, I know my kids love to be outside. They love to hike, you know that. And so that is something, you know, and I do too. So that's something that they get from me. But there's certain things that they love to do that brings them joy that aren't always my favorite,
right.
You know, or I don't always gravitate that
right.
direction. But I know that if I spend 5 minutes outside with them, hiking, well, again, outside, that's something but that I love to do. But if it's something I can just say, hey,
but if you didn't love to do it,
yeah,
it's,
right.
you know, I think yeah. that's the thing. It's about, you know, it's one of those self-sacrificial kind of things. And like, I don't want to make this bigger,
right.
bigger than it is or
yeah.
whatever, but I think, you know, in a world where all the messages that we get are about our comfort and our needs and,
right.
you know, that are very me focused kind of things.
Right.
It almost seems a little counterintuitive, mm-hmm. but when we're talking about play, we're saying like, you need to sacrifice and play the way your kids,
right.
like the way they,
yeah.
like the way they love to play.
Yeah.
But the reason you do that is to build connection with your kids,
mm-hmm.
to build that deep resonance that we were talking about in that
right.
attunement.
Yeah.
kind of thing. And it's about, it's also about understanding that God has made all of that, so that our kids grow and develop to be the people
right.
that He's created them to be. I mean, there's
yeah.
the cognitive consequences for that. There are
right.
emotional consequences for that. There, mm-hmm. you know, it's mm-hmm. it's just our whole person is wrapped up in that. And mm-hmm. I don't know that we get messages a lot around us that plays that important.
Oh yeah, like one of my daughters, she is one of the dominant play personalities are listed is a collector. You know, we've mm-hmm. mentioned creative collectors.
We got one of those too.
Yeah, she loves to collect snow globes. Personally, I'd love to throw the snow globes
Absolutely.
Out the window because we have a shelves of snow globes.
Mm-hmm.
But that brings her such joy and connection to when we are traveling or gone somewhere or for somebody to bring her a snow globe back that represents that place. And it opens up conversations. You know, we have a shelf full of snow globes in her bedroom, you know, and it's not my favorite. But man, the connection that I have with my daughter because of her collector mm-hmm. type of mindset mm-hmm. then is beautiful. I love it.
And Mara, I'm going to make you feel better about that. You know, one of our sons, he has a collection of garbage disposals.
I think I remember you saying that.
And he has,
yeah. Yeah.
and he has literally yeah. dozens of garbage disposals. He has a
yeah.
pretty good sized room and it looks like a workshop
yeah.
and it's, and you know, but All that to say,
it's important.
Yeah. And we just had to relax about it.
Yeah.
And just say, you know, it doesn't necessarily make any sense to us. It's not anything right. that Denise or I would, you know, say, hey, yeah. that brings us joy or it,
right.
you know, and so,
right.
and so I may like to collect, you know, autographed.
Yeah.
sports memorabilia or whatever.
Right.
And, you
yeah.
know, and he likes to collect garbage disposals and that makes sense to him. And what I collect makes sense to me, but where we've been able to find mm-hmm. intersection and find joy in that is like, I identify with mm-hmm. the fact that like he likes to find those things. And it's funny because the thing that's important about both of those is not the thing.
That's right. It's the connection.
It's the memory. Like
yeah,
it's the where
memory.
It's like the where it came from and the mm-hmm. and the hunt and all of that sort of thing. And he and I are mm-hmm. incredibly alike in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. finding that sort of stuff, like I can celebrate something that I don't really care a whole lot about at all and doesn't because I can
right.
I can understand the feeling.
Right.
And like the, and the, you know, why it's meaningful to him.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's where, like, that's where our hearts meet.
Yeah. Well, and I think that kind of gets back to, too, when we think about like the connected families framework mm-hmm. that we've talked about, you know, sometimes I think we allow ourselves to be triggered by their joy or triggered by their way of play.
Right.
You know, and that's why we do have to kind of take a step back
yeah.
and say, hey, what's going on inside of me? That's
mm-hmm.
the, you you know, number one connected families questions, you know, so that you take a look and go, okay, what's going on inside of me? And why is this bothering me? And I just use the question why, but why is this bothering me?
Yeah.
You know, and so, or how can I switch it so that I can find that those memories and make those memories and have those conversations and connect with my child, even though it may be something that is triggering for me, you know, and it is self-sacrificing. Yeah. You do have to, and that's part of parenting. I mean, welcome to parenting.
Right. But I think again, that's a little bit of a, just kind of parenting on a different plane a little bit to realize that's part of it.
Yeah.
And again, you know, to take it back to the, you know, the spiritual side of it.
Right.
Philippians 2, right? Jesus, who had all rights to heaven, mm-hmm. and who was properly ruling and reigning, stepped out of heaven, removed himself from all of that and came and lived in the world like one of us, but not like one of us, right?
Yeah.
And so, think about all the stuff that Jesus had to endure and all the things that he gave up to be, mm-hmm. you know, where he was. And so, like, I don't want to over-spiritualize this, but the fact is that when we're in our triggered moments, playing with our kids, there's kind of an opportunity to be able to
show them Jesus.
And to live like Jesus. Yeah. And also, I think, to petition the Lord in the middle of those moments to say, God, give me patience. God, give me grace. Right. God, give me, you know, give me what I need in order to be able to be there and be present for my child. And I, that's not to beat anybody up who's struggling with that, because we all do. But it's just a great reminder. I mean, I'm sitting here saying this like I've got it all together. This is a constant battle. Today.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a battle worth fighting.
And if you think, even going back to James, you know, James chapter 1, where he says, let your steadfastness take its full effect. And then that next verse says, if you lack wisdom, ask the Lord.
All right.
You know, and I think, you know, and don't doubt, you know, and I think that gets back to us too, is like I sometimes I'm not sure how to connect, or I'm not sure how. That's the number one, like, response, or not excuse, but response I get from parents a lot when we're talking about play, is like, I don't know how to play, or I didn't play as a child, which I would, like, I'll question you and make you think about that. Like, if I said, hey, Rick, what's your earliest memory of playing as a child? And, like, what did you do? How did you play as a child? And even with your parents. I mean, I know that you had a connection with your parents. So what's your earliest memory of playing with your dad or with your mom? And how did they play with you? How did they connect with you?
Yeah.
And that's going to impact, you know, just being able to go, oh, I do know how to find joy in doing that, you know, and everything. So what is your earliest memory of play?
Gosh, I'm sitting here thinking about it and just trying to, you know, trying to think back. I mean, probably the earliest thing I can remember is being absolutely completely obsessed with policemen and firemen, you know, and like pretending to be a policeman. Like my favorite TV show was a, you know, like two cops riding around in a car kind of thing.
Oh, it wasn't Chips on the...
No, it was actually Adam 12. No, okay. So it goes back that far.
Okay.
Go look it up.
Okay.
For those of you that...
but younger.
You know, absolutely. For those of you that it was on... The scripts were written on stone tablets, if you don't know that. But playing like that and my dad pretending with me.
Yes.
Like him just
engaging
and like, and I think that's one of the things, and I'm going to tell you, like, I stink at this. So I'm going to be as a father, like, this has been a struggle, but it's not a struggle because I didn't have it modeled for me.
Right.
It's a struggle because it triggers something in me. Mm-hmm. And so what we're talking about, but gosh, I feel like this is a therapy session. but the reality is, what I learned from my dad was mirroring.
Yes.
I learned from my dad that he didn't force me to play his way.
Right.
He let me play, mm-hmm. and he came and joined me.
Yes.
And I think, again, not to over-spiritualize it.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can over-spiritualize it.
Mm-mm.
That's exactly what Jesus did on some level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the science, if you want to get to the science part of it, mirroring neurons. I mean, they are mirroring neurons. My neurons are talking to your neurons.
Yeah.
And we are mirroring and modeling that. And that's forming how our neurons are firing and then wiring together. And even like Dr. Karen Purvis had a quote in her book, The Connected Child, that says it takes 400 repetitions to create a new synapsis in the brain, unless it's done through play, in which it takes 10 to 20 repetitions.
Yeah.
And I mean, you think about that. And from a learning process and educator side of things, and even as an educator, you know, in the classroom, of like, if I am, you know, playfully engaging and present and able to connect with my students, then I know that it's going to stick quicker.
Yeah.
Right? You know, those neurons are going to fire and wire, and we're not going to have to, quote, work as much at it.
Well, you know? It's because you're finding joy in that thing.
Exactly.
And so I'll go back to the example that we talked about earlier, and you talked about my, you know, ice skating life.
Yes. Yeah.
So that was hard work.
Right.
As a kid, it was kind of unusual, actually, for as a kid to put that kind of time in and to mm-hmm. do that kind of work. And it was incredibly repetitious,
mm-hmm.
and it could be really boring,
mm-hmm.
except mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. it was always like purposive trial. It was always like trying to fix what didn't work the last time. And if that just felt like work, it mm-hmm. would have been horrible.
Right.
But it didn't feel like work.
Right.
It felt like fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it felt like achievement, and it felt like joy. And like there was a fun in the getting there part.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's the point mm-hmm. that when we're thinking in terms of, and I think this is really, really, really important when we're talking about kids that struggle with learning mm-hmm. and kids that are developmentally behind and all of that, that as parents, we feel the weight of that
mm-hmm.
because we look into the future and we start to say, what if?
We get worried.
What if they can't? Mm-hmm. What if things don't mm-hmm. work the way they should? What if they don't achieve?
Mm.
And so the mindset then becomes, mm-hmm. well, we have to work harder.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got to put the work in. And so it becomes something that is incredibly, like, it's anything other than playful. It's incredibly hard and difficult.
It becomes very left-brained.
Yeah.
We just really, just the drive just to get them to make that next grade or to pass that next test. And the joy is gone.
Right.
The joy goes away.
Right.
And that's really difficult. I mean, I see it and I get it as a parent. I was that parent, mm-hmm. you know, that just the push and the drive, because that's what we thought that's what worked.
Right.
And with our kids that come from learning, that have learning differences or that have, you know, are neurodivergent mm-hmm. or just have issues and struggles in different things. If we can disarm our fear,
mm-hmm.
you know, and come back and recall how we are made mm-hmm. and that whole relationship with what God has done for us,
yeah.
you know, then we're able to look at our kids differently,
yep.
maybe, and really connect with them through this, knowing again that it's going to produce that,
mm-hmm.
but it's a different, maybe just navigating a different path to get there.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, you have to trust the Lord in this,
mm-hmm.
and I say that, and that sounds really cliche. And if you're a mom or a dad who's in the middle of, you know, the mully grubs about where your child is and where they might end up and mm-hmm. all that sort of thing, like I understand,
Yeah.
I've been there. I'm there. I might be there this afternoon. I don't know. But like, that's a constant struggle that, you know, that we continue to live.
Uh-huh.
And it's real.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, mm-hmm. being worried about that to the point of not being able to be present and not being able to be playful and not being able to connect with your kids mm-hmm. is just so completely counterproductive to the whole thing. It just it makes worse what you're what you're really
trying.
Concerned and worried about and trying to affect.
Yeah.
And so
and
you know what an incredible just manifestation of God's grace that mm-hmm. that God gives us the answer in something that's this fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we see it with the bridge tutors. I mean, and the connection that a lot of our kids make with their tutors that they're working mm-hmm. with, even online, and it's just beautiful to see when they've made that connection in a playful way, like the progress that they make is just incredible. I mean, you were telling me a story yesterday, and then it just makes my heart happy. And you just want to smile. I do want to do that little dance, because it's just to see that progression made and to see those kids excited about learning and joyful about learning.
Yeah.
So you have to tell a story.
Yeah. Well, and there's actually a little more to the story than I even told you yesterday, but just, my wife's working with a little boy right now that has had some, pretty significant struggles, and they've been very fundamental and very rudimentary in getting him to move and getting him to do, some basic things to connect, mm-hmm. Words and ideas and those sorts of things. And so he's put in a ton of work.
Yeah.
His mama has put in a ton of work, because what's been happening is that not just so they're doing tutoring a couple of days a week, but he and mama are doing it at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then Denise told the story a few weeks ago. We had a snow day. And so this was back in January. And so all of his siblings were out of school. Mm-hmm. And so mom brought the siblings and they all joined in.
Oh,
and
yeah.
so they were all helping him mm-hmm. to, move his body in the ways that he needed to move his body. And they were like all in it and they've continued to do that. And mm-hmm. so it's become part of the play, that they have at home. Now, one of the funny things that we just talked about this last night is he's actually become a little bit oppositional and he's become a little bit defiant in telling him he didn't want to do some of that stuff.
Yeah. Right. And, but he's using his words.
Right. And that was the thing. That was the moment. Like we were talking about it and I just started laughing because she was processing and just kind of going like, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go from here? And putting a plan together. And I was like, you got to stop and just step back and celebrate and go, 4 or 5 months ago, he didn't have the ability to tell you no.
That's right. Yeah.
And now he does. And so, mom's a little, kind of trying to figure out what to do with that and all. But it's like, it's a really, it's an incredible place to be. And, mm-hmm. and the bigger place in that or the reality in it is hope.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fact is, you're seeing this little guy that didn't have the ability to do this
to
months ago.
Himself. Yeah.
And he does now.
Yeah.
And so, Lord willing, that mama's going to get that message today.
Yeah.
When they sit down and it's like, hey, be thankful and be hopeful for for what you've seen.
And the progress is, but isn't that also how the Lord works? I mean, we're always looking for these quick fixes.
Right.
And for whatever it is just to go away, to just fix it. But that's not how God's designed life.
Right.
It's a process. It's a sanctification process.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of times we do talk to parents about that it's going to take time. And in the changes sometimes are just really subtle, but don't miss those opportunities to celebrate those subtle changes.
Right.
Again, coming back to the idea of work, but it's a beautiful work to engage in. We have to look for those opportunities. And that takes us, know, stepping back again and looking for those opportunities, taking the time, taking that pause and enjoying your
well,
your children.
It's funny because, you know, even in the intro to the, you know, the interview, when it dawned on me that you've been here since 2017, I'm like, good night. We've been at this a while.
Yeah, it's fun.
It is fun. Yeah. And it doesn't seem like we've been doing it this long.
Yeah. Right.
But part of the blessing in all that is to be able to look back over all of those years and to see kids that have grown and achieved. And that's the thing. I think, you know, sometimes we get frustrated in the moment because we don't feel like we're seeing change.
Right.
But when you're able to turn back around and look over, you know, a sequence of years or, you know, like it's pretty evident. To see how all this works. And it's funny, as I've talked to people about Bridge, one of the things that I think parents clue into some at a point is, or sometimes they don't. And sometimes this is a fun conversation, but they're, you know, they go, but you're not doing anything but playing with my kids.
playing brain games.
Right. But no, but the funny thing is like, I think there's sort of this when people come into, you know, doing what we do and the expectation is that there is this, there's this very clinical, very, you know, scientific kind of thing. And that we're going to have like a laboratory experience with their kids.
Right. Yeah.
And then it's, you know, it's words and colors and stuff and physical movement and all, you know, all these things that are that are kind of being used as tools, but it just really looks like sitting down and playing. And because it is.
That's it. Yeah. We play. That's how I describe it is we play these particular, we use these different tools and strategies to play so that we can develop in the cognitive side.
Right.
Or so that it impacts everything else we're doing in life.
Right.
You know, whether that's walking down the street and looking at a stop sign, you know, and knowing that you're supposed to stop, you know,
right.
but to, you know, how you spell words.
Right.
And how you read and in, you know, different things like that. So it's really neat to watch that again, that process. But yeah, we're doing it through play, through engagement, through joy, helping them kids. And I can't tell you how many times I hear kids or parents come back and say, hey, this is just really neat. And they want to be a part of it. You know, like this mom, I mean, she wants to be doing it at home so that like she can see that same effect happening across the board.
And that's, you know, and that's when
that's
this really works.
That's
right?
Transformation. Yes.
But that's when it really works. Yeah. It really works when we transfer that to mom and dad and that like something clicks within a family.
Yes.
That play and the purpose of play gets walked out on a regular basis.
Yes. Yeah.
And so
that's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's an incredible, it's an incredible opportunity and an incredible privilege. I think there's one more thing I want to talk about just before we close. And so there's a, because I think there is another aspect to this that is, that's important and it's, and going to use a word or a term that may trigger some people because and you're going to laugh when I say this because we've had a lot of conversations, but we talk about the social emotional aspect of what happens in all this. And that's a social emotional learning is a term that's been co-opted by, you know, by folks who would want it to mean something else. But at the end of the day, what we're talking about is that the Lord has wired us to use play to help us learn how to relate to other people and to establish us emotionally and in our, you know, in our ability to relate to other people and our ability to regulate ourselves and our ability to be able to experience the world well. Right.
Yeah. I would even take it. I mean, you know, I'm always going to go towards the science side of things. So I'm going to look at like, I see play as a holistic tool to building that motor sensory or those relational skills, if you want to use that term instead, and those cognitive skills.
Sure.
So it's a holistic brain approach to strengthening that so that we do know how to live life. But we do that through play. And I think, I do think it is a piece and God's given God created the brain.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and he's, and so now all we're doing, but we live in a broken world and we're broken. We're, you know, we're sinful and we're broken people, but he's using play as a tool to strengthen all of those different skills, whether it's motor sensory, whether it's social, emotional, or relational, or whether it's cognitive. That it is a piece of that whole, the whole product, the whole piece is fits together of the, of that puzzle.
And so I've heard a lot of dads that talk about the idea that they want their kids to play sports, particularly want their boys to play sports, but they want their kids to play sports in general. And you ask them why, and they say, because of how it develops them as a person, how it develops them in character, how it, you know, how it teaches things that, well, here's, maybe this is a little crazy, and we'll probably get an email or two over this, but but I think, you know, sometimes we think it's because of the structure of sports or sometimes even the success of sports. But I think really the ingredient in that that's important is the play and the joy of sports.
Yeah, definitely.
And that where a lot of that learning to negotiate the world and learning to, you know, like live and do well with other people comes in the context of doing something that you just really, really, really enjoy. And so kind of bringing that, you know, full circle, it's kind of troubling when you see parents that are pushing their kids to be a part of those things and to achieve in those things for maybe what are all the wrong reasons, because the right reason from a developmental standpoint is helping your kid to do something that they really, 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 really love.
And that's, I think that's why I would so encourage parents to really think about and be aware of the different ways in which your child finds joy. Whether that, it could be a kinesthetic, where you just like to move. It could be your competitor, where, and do sports and teams teach certain things? Sure. But if we're intentional in different, whatever that looks like, there's a, there's the habit of intentionality, you know, right? Strategic intentionality, if you want to, that's kind of where I'm going with that. But whether your child is kinesthetic, a competitor, a storyteller, a, an artist, a director, you know, those are just some of the ways in which just getting to know how your child receives joy from what God's given us.
And so the simple way to say that is just find it and feed it.
Find it and feed it.
Right? Just find it and feed it.
Exactly. That's great. I love that.
And so, you know, I would encourage folks as we, you know, kind of begin to step away from this is go find the, you know, the information about different styles of play and, and try to, you know, understand yourself and understand your child. And those are things we can all do at home, right?
Oh,
But there are some things that probably folks that are listening to the podcast are aware of that they don't feel like they can do at home. And you know, maybe somebody just has bought into the idea of play and playfulness being the way to help their kids to, you know, develop and to walk through some learning differences and to make up for or to, you know, some cognitive, you know, differences.
Yeah.
All right. So if you're in that place, what do you do, Amara?
Well, I mean, I would love to say, hey, let's we want to equip and empower you as a parent to do what God has called us to do as parents. And so, yeah, we can definitely help navigate that, help you navigate that and walk alongside a partner and help with those tools and strategies to get you to that point. Whether that's parent coaching, you know, whether that's, you know, counseling, whether that's bridge, you know, but there are the beauty that God has allowed us to do in bridge and, you know, at Lifeline is that we do have a lot of tools and strategies that God has put in our laps and we definitely want to share those.
Yeah. And I would encourage folks to reach out, because I think, you know, the other thing that may be a bit of a misnomer is folks may be looking at this and saying, hey, I don't know if we can do this. And number two, I don't know if we can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you're going to find if you come and look at what we're doing in Bridge is it's insanely affordable.
Right.
Because we've worked really hard to make sure that that's true. But we also have ways for people to be able to afford it if you can't.
Right.
And so we don't want a family to not be served because of a lack of resources. And so reach out to us, talk with us. Let's see what we can do to, you know, to help your family. Well, Amar, we could sit here and talk all day.
I know. I have about 10 things in my mind right now, but
So what we have to do is you just have to come back and we have to do this again. And we just have to keep talking. But I'm really, again, just so thankful for you. Thankful for you and Robbie and your friendship. And this is always fun because, doing interviews, when you get to sit down with one of your buddies and just have a conversation about something that you enjoy, it's always great. And so, thanks for this. Thanks for all you do in leading Bridge. And we will look forward to having another conversation soon.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's been fun. And I'm thankful for you all too, and for Lifeline. And just, I'm thankful. I do. I love to just mention this last piece of scripture that just pops up into my mind every time I think about kids. And it is that Zechariah 8:5. It says, "And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets." And just get a visual of that. I mean, isn't that beautiful that's we're gonna be playing in heaven?
Yeah.
So anyway, but
that's
thank
a
you.
Great way to end, right? We're going to be playing in heaven.
Yep.
Well, we're so glad that you joined us for this episode of the Defender Podcast, and we appreciate that you come and listen. We'd love for you to rate and review the podcast and let us know about what you enjoy, and we'll try to do more of that. We'd love to hear from you, but we will be right back here next week again with another episode of the Defender Podcast, and we hope you'll join us.
Thanks for listening to the Defender Podcast. If you enjoy making this podcast a part of your weekly routine, we'd love for you to take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review the Defender Podcast to make it easier for more people to find. For more information on how you and your church can partner with Lifeline, visit us at lifelinechild.org. If you want to connect with me, please visit herbienewell.com. Follow us at Lifeline on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter by searching for Lifeline Child. You can email us directly at info@lifelinechild.org. Beloved, will you allow God to use the gospel through you to impact the life of a child? Please contact us, because we are here to defend the fatherless. We'll see you again next week for the Defender Podcast.